morning.
It's early for me. I'm an hour behind you.
We appreciate that. You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is George Zollinger. I represent the defendant in this matter. There's only one issue before the court today, and that's whether the district court was correct in revoking the defendant's probation.
Did the court's journal say it revoked the probation?
It found that the state had proven by clear and convincing evidence that the defendant had violated his probation and revoked it and resentenced him to 7 days in jail.
Let's assume it didn't say that. Let's assume it didn't revoke the probation. How does that change your argument? Because really the essence of the question is, what's that 7 days? Did he have authority to enforce 7 days or not enforce it?
Well, there's an interesting question, because the defendant's actual period of probation ended on May 12, 2018. The motion to revoke was filed on June 12th, a month later.
What have we said about motions to revoke after completion of the term of probation?
If it's done within a reasonable time thereafter, and we didn't challenge that there was a reasonable time. So, but the problem became, at the close of his probationary period, the defendant was contacted by his probation officer, Marl, who told him that he had had a conversation with the district judge, and the judge had agreed with his recommendation that they waive that remaining 7 days.
Had that been memorialized in writing?
No, it wasn't.
Any orders by the court entered?
No. No. What had happened then was the probation officer was preparing the order releasing the defendant from probation, but that release, which would have included that waiver of the 7 days, was never made available to the court. So that was never done. Even up to the date of the hearing, the officer still hadn't prepared the paperwork. And so,
well, in the interim, there was an alleged motion or alleged violation of probation filed by the probation officer and a motion to revoke filed by the state. Is that correct?
Right. On June 6th, at the request of the county attorney, the probation officer did file the violation report. And so the actual motion was filed on June 12th. And the hearing was actually in November of that year. And I'm not contesting that, because that was my fault. I had an auto wreck shortly after that and broke my neck, and I had to spend 4 months in rehab. So I took care of that problem.
Glad to see you're doing better.
So anyway, what we have is a situation where then the judge allegedly told the probation officer who testified at the hearing that he should waive, or he was going to waive the 7 days. We have the hearing, officer testifies to that effect, and then we get the order finding that his probation should be revoked. And that was the only issue on the revocation.
Was a waiver ever signed by either of the trial judge or the probation officer?
No. No, so no paperwork.
Do we have any case authority that suggests that oral waivers are enforced?
I looked quite exhaustively for that, and no, we don't.
So what does the court do ultimately? Whether it revokes the probation or not, what's the ultimate determination by the court?
That the defendant should serve his 7 days.
And that was a 7-day sentence that was part of the original term of probation?
Yes.
And was that original order of probation appealed within 30 days of it being entered?
No, it was not.
Did that have any impact on our situation now?
Obviously, Volchek would control if that was the situation. And so with that, yes, it would take care of that.
Was there a motion to modify that condition under 29-2263?
No.
The
serving the 7 days in jail suspended pending this appeal, or has he served?
No, it's suspended.
So after the court finds that there's clear and convincing evidence of a violation of probation, court doesn't give an additional condition or term of probation, does it?
No.
It says you still have to serve the 7 days that you haven't served of the original 10 days you were supposed to serve.
Right.
So how's that fit under our statutory authority? What did the judge do with that? Can we explain what the judge did? Can we put a label on it? Was it a reprimand? Was it a warning? Was it an extension? Was it a custodial sanction?
It would appear to me to be more of a reprimand. And he was given a date to start serving those 7 days.
And that serving the 7 days was after the term of probation was
at end. Did
that have any impact?
What the judge should have done was simply have, it would have been easier if he had revoked and resentenced. Because this does tend to confuse the issue.
Is the judge merely enforcing a term?
By the language of his order, it would appear that he was actually doing more than that. He was actually finding that the state had met its burden and attempting to revoke the probation.
If a judge finds that there's clear and convincing evidence sufficient to revoke, that doesn't mean he has to revoke, does it?
No.
No. So he could say, I find all of this, but I'm not going to do that, and here's
what I'm going to do. You just need to serve your 7 days.
And why don't we read this order as having done exactly that?
Because once again, I was looking at the language of his order, and it appeared that he was actually trying to revoke probation. But being unclear, just went forward with the appeal. And obviously, Volchek would control if our only issue was whether or not, you know, the 7 days should have been waived.
Are you contending there wasn't sufficient evidence to find that he violated his probation?
Yes. I think we have a situation where the only person, representative of the system, that the defendant had contact with during that 2 years was his probation officer. And at the end of his probationary period, the probation officer says the 7 days been waived.
What's the lesson in Volchek in terms of final appealable orders?
That this court is not going to hear cases involving just the waiver of jail time.
If that jail time were a part of the original sentencing order.
Exactly. And that's what we have in this case.
And that's what we have in this case.
So. Well, I believe my time is over. At least I've been beeped at. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lewis, good morning to you.
Morning. May it please the court, Matt Lewis, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the state of Nebraska. This is a direct appeal of the finding by the District Court of Dundee County that appellant violated his probation. Turning first to the jurisdictional argument raised in the state's brief, the District Court did not explicitly revoke Mr. Nelms' probation. It only found that a violation occurred and ordered the remaining condition completed. As a result, it's the state's position that a substantial right was not affected in finding a violation of Mr. Nelms' probation in making the finding that he's appealing, not a final appealable order. Thus, the state contends that the resulting order by the court that Nelms complete the remaining 7 days jail term required by his probation was instead a modification of his probation as authorized by Section 292268.
What did the court do under 292268? Can we put a label on it?
So 292268 will allow in the finding of a violation of probation, either the revocation of the probation and a resentencing, or it provides a series of sanctions that can come as a result that is not sort of the full revocation, but a sanction tacked on because of the violation.
Did the court revoke the probation?
The court did not revoke the probation.
So we skip section one and go to subsection three?
Correct, yeah. And then within subsection three, you have a bunch of subsections that allow specific sanctions to follow on. And it is our contention that the subsection sanction that applies here is just an extension of the probation term to allow Mr. Nelms to complete the remaining 7 days in jail as required by his original probation sentence.
Your brief talks a little bit about being a custodial sanction. But is it a custodial sanction?
No, this would not be a custodial sanction because there was no new sort of custodial term applied. Instead, the court was just requiring Mr. Nelms to complete, effectively giving him more time to complete the original time that was ordered as part of the probation sentence.
Was he already in custody, as that phrase is used?
Yes, I believe that within State versus Thalman, this court has said that the custody throughout the term of probation remains, but with the application of something such as a custodial sanction, the nature of that custody just changes, which is not even what happened here. I mean, the custody has remained almost exactly the same. The court has just said, you need to comply with this one remaining term
that was embodied in the original order.
It was in the original probation order, which Mr. Nelms did not appeal from the original probation order. He's now appealing the application of sort of the enforcement of this last term outstanding.
And by definition, I'm sorry.
He didn't move to modify the condition of probation.
No, he did not.
By definition, custodial sanction is an additional term. Is that correct?
It appears that way, yes, that it would be an additional custodial.
That's how the statute defines it.
Yes.
And so this is not an additional term. This was the original term.
Correct, yes.
10 days in jail, served three, now he's got 7 left.
Correct.
So it really wouldn't fit as custodial sanction.
No. And I think the subsection is 2268.3 sub E is the specific allowance for the extension of probation, a period of probation, an extension of custody, really, to complete that remaining probation term is what we're contending.
So if this was an extension of the probation to complete the jail time, is that an appealable order? Have we ever discussed that?
I have not seen any case law that says that would be. And to sort of to triangulate that position, we cite this court in State versus Thalman, which discusses whether or not liberty interest is a substantial right, is a mile marker of sorts for whether or not it's a substantial right that makes it a final appealable order. And then also State versus Volchek, which talks about the waiver of a jail term, which is, in that case, a custodial sanction that is applied. So that is a sanction there that is being applied, which is also similarly not a final appealable order. They're not exactly the same because they don't sort of increase the length of custody, the time, as we're sort of contending here, but we're trying to use those to sort of say that it is functionally the same.
Mr. Nelms seems to be arguing that he was misled by his probation officer. Does the state contest that factual basis?
To a point. So I think that the testimony at the probation revocation, the motion to revoke probation hearing, the probation officer says that he speaks with Mr. Nelms at some point in May, and it would seem to say, and Mr. Nelms says that he speaks to the probation officer sometime in late May, which if his probation is up May 12th, 2018, he is essentially already in violation of his probation at that point because he's not completed by the end of his 24 months. The probation officer goes to the district court judge and says, I'm thinking of waiving the remaining 7 days on his probation term. And the judge says, I think he says something along the lines of, I have no reservations to that. If that's what you want to do, file it. And the filing of that motion never comes. So to say that the district court judge said, yes, I will.
If Mr. Nelms was misled by his probation officer, does he have some kind of remedy for that?
I'm not aware of a remedy for that. The statutes even still would say that, you know, Mr. Nelms is not released from his probation until he receives some sort of formal notification that he is has satisfactorily completed his probation, has been released from his probation, but he does not have that either. I'm not aware of any sort of oral promises to have your probation successfully completed, and you can take that as sort of canon and move forward. However, I think that there's a couple of different factors at play that Mr. Nelms should have known that he was not done with his probation. I think he says as much during his testimony at the hearing, that he still knows that the 7 days is out there. He is aware at the time that he goes to talk to his probation officer that he still has these 7 days to complete, and his probation is not completed until these 7 days are done. So he's very much in the know that he still has these remaining days out there.
To this day, could he move to modify a term of probation?
I am not sure whether or not he could or not. However, I will say that with the finding of the violation of his probation, one of the options that the district court has at that point is to revoke his probation and sentence him to a sentence that he would have originally been exposed to when he was of the convictions that he received at the end of the jury trial.
If this court were to conclude that this is not an appealable matter, then you all would be back in front of the trial court. Is that right?
I would believe so, yes.
And the status there, is that right? Is that the jail term has been suspended?
As far as I'm aware, he has not served the remaining 7 days.
There doesn't seem to be a dispute of it.
Yeah, no, the 7 days are still outstanding as far as I know.
The filing of a motion to revoke probation was not necessary for the court to enter an order telling him he had to serve his original term, was it?
Can you say that one more time?
The fact that the state filed a motion to revoke probation, that was a not necessary predicate for the court to enter an order that he had to serve the rest of his originally ordered sentence.
I would not think so, no.
Are there restrictions on the circumstances under which the state can move to revoke, and were those circumstances met here?
The district court makes a finding in its order that this was done in a timely manner.
I'm not talking about timeliness. I'm talking about the factual circumstances under which a motion to revoke probation may be filed under 29-2267.
I think that the factors were present, and as far as had the 90 days of sanctions, is that the portion that you're referring to? I believe that was part of the package group of bills that were part of LB 605 in 2016, and Mr. Nelms' original offenses came to, I think, in 2011 and 2012, and since
predated.
Those, yes, they would be predated to that particular portion.
When was he sentenced?
2016. It would have been May of 2016 is when he sentenced to probation.
What's the statute say about that?
I'm not aware of what the statute says. During the violation of probation hearing, Mr. Nelms made clear that he had never received any paperwork or formal communication releasing him from his probation term, clearing him of his condition. He did acknowledge, again, at the hearing that he knew that the 7 days remaining were still out there. He testified that he had either functionally or actually pursued the waiver of the days after he was already in violation of his probation at that point, if we're talking about late May. And his probation would have been up in May 12th, several weeks afterwards. The state therefore submits that there was clear and convincing evidence needed to demonstrate that the violation had occurred, rendering the court's finding of the same not an error. Therefore, if there are no further questions, we ask this court to affirm the judgment of the district court in this case. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 1 minute and 40 seconds, Mr. Zeilinger.
As to what will happen if this court either finds that Volchek is controlling and finds that this is not an appeal that should be taking place, or finds against the defendant, what we'll do next is simply set up a time and he will serve his 7 days. So that matter will be resolved. As far as the original probation order, it was modified at one point. I wasn't aware of that, but it was. The defendant started serving his jail sentence. He was to serve his 10 days at the outset of his sentence. He started serving his time. He had a medical issue, and so that's why they released him without serving the entire 10 days. So they modified the order at that point in time. Once again,
That modification did not set a specific time for him to report, is that correct?
No, it simply said, be served by the end of probation. So, anyway, now I'm going to head back west, so, thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next case of the day is Foundation One Bank versus Svoboda.